Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. I'll begin reading with verse 17. They're in an awful, awful storm in this text. Paul is on a ship that's in a storm because they're out of the will of God. They weren't supposed to go in that direction. God warned them, but now they're in a storm. Verse 17, when they had taken it on board, they used braces to undergird the ship. Fearing lest they should run aground on the Cyprus sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Because there were exceeding tempest tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. I like the fact that it said that they did it with their own hands, overboard with their own hands. And now when there was neither sun or moon for stars appeared for many days. No small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. That's a dark place, right? I mean, there's no hope. This is bad. And Paul stands up and speaks, and for the sake of time, verse 22, and now I urge you, brethren, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Watch, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Your purpose is greater than your storm. You're going through this for a purpose, and this is a part of your purpose. This is a key to understanding the story and the lesson in it. And he says, you know, that you've got to stand before Caesar. So I want to keep going. And I want you to notice some things. Verse 20, 29, real quick. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight to come. There were certain sailors who escaped the ship, were seeking to escape the ship, and they let down the skiff or the lifeboat into the sea under the pretense, pretending that they were putting out the anchors. And Paul then said to them, the soldiers and the centurion, unless these men stay in the ship, it cannot be saved. Verse 29 said they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight to come. Apparently, one of the keys to surviving the storm is anchored, being anchored right, being anchored properly. I'm preaching today on that word anchored, because it's a matter of time before everybody goes through storms. This is a true story, and it happened March the 27th, 2009. I know football's starting up, and this was a story about two NFL players and their friends. One of them was a college football player about to go pro, and they were in the Gulf of Mexico, and they were in a tragic accident. They were fishing and having fun, and a storm came, and they saw it coming, and they had put their anchor out, and this is what the headline read. It said, the NFL players and their friends in the Gulf of Mexico has concluded that it was caused when the vessel was improperly anchored, the boat capsized. And the story ends by telling how the Oakland Raiders linebacker and free agent for Corey Smith and another young man from the University of South of Florida were lost and killed, and only one lone survivor stayed out at sea holding on to something that was floating for two solid days. And they end the story by saying this: overall, it was just a mistake in anchoring. Apparently, anchoring is a very important thing in the natural, and it is a vital thing. And that's why the scripture mentions they put four anchors out that would keep them from drifting too far into the rocks and into disaster, you've got to have your life, your family, your marriage anchored. And that's what I'm talking about today, because God doesn't just want us to go through storms. He wants us to grow through them. If you're going through something, it's not just because God is sadistic and he wants to see you hurt and wants to see you struggle and wants to see you discouraged. Don't just go through the storm, grow through it, because storms can make you stronger. In 1991, 8 scientists created an artificial environment in a place called Oracle, Arizona, out in the desert. It was named Biosphere 2. These 8 scientists lived for 2 solid years inside that bubble, basically. And in there, what's amazing is they created a mini ecosystem that included a desert, a rainforest, even a tiny ocean. They had everything that we have, and they lived self-contained, grew their own food, everything inside of that ecosystem that they created. But the one thing that they failed to do is they failed to create weather that was contrary and wind that would blow strong. When they understood after a while that the effects of a windless, stormless environment was detrimental, the way they found that out was the trees started bending over and they couldn't figure out why. And if they only have sunshiny days or even rainy days, but the winds of adversity don't blow on those trees, they eventually will bend over and completely break. And so apparently there's a great lesson in that like it or not, weathering storms builds our strength. And there's a purpose for the storm. It is to build your faith, build your confidence, build your praise, build your prayer life, build your dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you quickly 3 things that Paul instructed them to do when you're in a storm. When you go through a storm, the first thing he said in Acts 27 and 17 is he said, brace up the ship. And so they see a storm coming, they know it's gonna get bad, and they said, you know, we're about to enter into something, we better brace the ship up a little bit. It needs a little reinforcement. And the way they did that in Bible days is the sailor would jump off of the ship with a large thick rope, he would have to swim under the ship, and they would take it up the other side, tie it, and do the process all over again, undergirding that ship, embracing that ship, making it strong enough to go through the storm that was coming. I believe that's a powerful instruction when you understand this is what you are to do when you get in a storm. Brace up your mind with the Word of God. The first thing you ought to go to when you hit rough weather, spiritually speaking, is brace up your mind in the Word of God. Think straight. Take control of your thoughts and brace up your mind with the Word of God. Scriptures like 1 Peter chapter 2, by His stripes I am healed. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of the... What does that do? It braces you up. Declare the truth of God's word in the midst of your circumstances. I always go to this one. I love this. It's one of my favorite verses. It always has been. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, where you begin will seem unimportant because your future will be so successful. Where you begin will seem unimportant, the Living Bible says, because your future will be successful. And you know, when you're going through the storm, you don't feel that. You feel like you don't have any future. You feel like you don't have anything ahead of you. But you undergird your mind. You brace up your mind with the Word of God. Jeremiah 1 and 5 said, before I was formed in my mother's womb, God called me and ordained me. He knew everything I would go through, and He's given me the faith I need to get to the other side. Jeremiah 29 and 11, it braces you up. It braces your thoughts up when you declare the Word of God. I know the plans you have for me, plans of good and not evil, to give me a hope and a future. One translation said, you have a future filled with hope. Boy, you need to hear that when you're going through the storm. You have to brace your mind up with the Word of God, because if you don't, fear will take over, worry will take over, depression will take over, discouragement and disappointment will take over. So you brace your family up, you brace your marriage up with the Word of God. And don't run from church when you get in a storm. That's when you need the church like never before. When your family and your marriage and you feel unworthy and you feel like you don't have a right because you've been arguing and fighting, you come to church and you brace that marriage up with the word of God, not your feelings, not your emotions, not how you're feeling right now. I just feel like I'd be better off by myself. I just feel like God didn't put us together. All those lies the enemy will tell if you don't brace yourself up with the word of God. You know, when me and Sharice, especially that first year and few years there through too, we had major challenges. And Pat, my mother-in-law, is sitting down here on the front row, and she was so instrumental, and her husband Jimmy, who's gone on to be with the Lord, because they would sit us down. And just when we just felt like we couldn't take it anymore and we couldn't stand each other anymore and we'd miss God and all those stupid lies that the devil would tell you, you know, they would sit us down. I mean, there was no wiggle room. She would say to Sharice, "You're not coming to my house. You're not coming in. God put you together." And then Jimmy would get on me and he'd take me in the back room somewhere and start pouring, saying things to me, you know. And it builds you up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It braces up the ship for the storm that you're going through. I remember I wrote down some notes. I remember I really believe the first year, pretty much every argument we got into, I believed it was Sharice's fault. I really believe that. I mean, I was convinced, what is your deal? I really believed that if I could just make her more like me, because I'm practically perfect. In my own mind, I'm practically perfect. You know, that's how I thought. And we don't understand marriage is brutal on selfishness. It's brutal on selfishness. One man said that the first few years of marriage after being in it, said his wife said, "Cinderella lied. You're neither a prince nor are you charming." And then she threw the glass slipper at him. You begin to lose hope. I'm telling you, people begin to lose hope in their marriage because they don't brace that marriage up in the Word of God. In those times, you have to take the Word of God out and brace that marriage up and say, no, my emotions are not right. Circumstances are not right. This fight is not right. The Word of God is truth and right. And Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage is honorable. One translation said marriage is precious. Now, it doesn't feel precious all the time, but when you're in it, you brace yourself up. It's precious. It's of great price. It's especially dear. Marriage is. And so you quote the scriptures. Proverbs 5:18, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Rejoice with the husband of your youth. In other words, the one you started out with, that's what you have to brace your, nobody else for me, nobody else, we're going to work it out. If the problem won't go away, it means we are supposed to work it out and we're going to brace ourselves up and I'm going to rejoice with the wife of my youth. Not a new one. Not a new one. 1 Corinthians 13 will brace up your marriage. Love never fails. If you are in a crisis, don't let the storm sink your marriage. Maybe it's a financial storm. Your month is longer than your money. Build and brace that financial world up with the word of God. My God will supply all my needs. Hebrews 4:19, according to his riches and glory. Malachi 3:10, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. You know, I read this the other day. This is just a side note, but I read this the other day where it said that Abraham, you know, his name in the Old Testament was Abram. And God changed his name. And you know when he changed it, if you read it, he went to Melchizedek and paid his tithes. And God added on to his name, Ham. And I just felt like saying, I wrote it in my Bible, if you're tired of spam, start paying your tithes and God will put you on Ham. Come on, that'll preach. That's a better point than you reacted to. They're shouting in Beaufort and shouting in Gwinnett and shouting in Spartanburg. Turn to somebody and say, you look like you've been eating spam, but you need to pay your tithes and God will give you some ham. Abraham, come on, that's a good joke. Say amen. That was worth getting up and coming to church for right there. I'm glad I traded in my spam for ham on God's economy and God's plan. How about you? He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He'll supply your needs. So brace up your mind with the word of God. Secondly, Paul said in Acts 27 in verse 30, he said, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. When you're in a storm, it's no time to have a pity party. Cheer up, cheer up. Hope must rule your heart. Control your attitude. Cheer up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It could be so much worse. You could be in a hospital. You could be dying. You could have got a terrible thing. No matter how bad your storm is, it could be so much worse. So cheer up. Listen, the message of Christianity is victory. Not victim, not depression, not despair, not going through trials. The message of Christianity is victory. This is the faith that overcomes the world. This is the faith that hell can't stop, demons can't stop. You have an anchor that is stronger than lies and all the enemy brings against you. So cheer up. Cheer up and be of good cheer, Paul said, right in the middle of the storm. He's leading you, the scripture declares, from place to place in perpetual victory. Get that deep in your spirit this morning. God's not leading you to defeat. God's not leading you to devastation. He's leading you to perpetual victory. And don't you quit now. You undergird your life. You undergird your call. You undergird your marriage, your business with the word of God. Cheer up. Brace up, focus on what you have, strengthen that which remains. And then lastly, he said in Acts 27 and 18, they begin to lighten the load, listen to this, with their own hands. See, the truth is, Paul, apparently they had gone to different ports and they picked up stuff they didn't start out the journey with. And before you know it, your life gets full of stuff. But the thing that a storm will do is the storm will come and it will cause you to begin to see the extra stuff that you have taken on board that really doesn't matter. The responsibilities, the distractions from the main purpose of our calling and our walk with Jesus Christ. And so when we go through storms, suddenly we start throwing, they start with their own hands. Quit waiting on God to do everything and take your own hands and say, you know what? I'm going through something. There goes the baggage of complaining. I'm not going to complain all the way through this storm. There goes the baggage of depression. There goes the baggage of fear. There goes the baggage of past failure. There goes the baggage of unforgiveness and bitterness. You have to unload when you're going through a storm. Just get down to what's essential, and that's Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, that baggage of weight can sink your ship. The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. And I wrote down three that in my life, when I go through storms, these are the three things the enemy tries to hit me with, and their baggage that I have to lighten up. I always have to throw them over. Number one, insufficiency. When I go through storms, I don't know why, but the enemy attacks me with a spirit that says, you're insufficient. Insufficiency means not enough education, not enough talent, not enough money. No, but I got enough God. If I've got enough God, he'll take me places that I never dreamed. He'll send me where he wants me to go. He'll pay the bill. Insufficiency, get it off your boat. You're going to the other side. Insecurity, I can't do this. I hear a little voice in my head sometimes when I get in a storm. You're going to lose. Insecurity, throw it off of your ship. The last one is insignificance. I always hear a little voice that says, no one really needs you. You're not important. You're not right for the part. You just put yourself there. Insignificance. But when you hear those voices in the middle of a storm, that's God saying, I'm letting you go through this. So you throw all that stuff off and be who I've called you to be, confident and bold and courageous, and stand there in your faith, not in you, but in your anchor. Your anchor is Jesus. Listen, the boat doesn't keep itself in the storm. It's the anchor. The responsibility is on the anchor, and Jesus is our anchor. He's the rock of ages. So everybody say, right now, brace up, cheer up, and I want you to lighten up. throw it off and keep on going in Jesus' mighty name. You see, when people are anchored improperly, it can cost them their life. And that's when the part of the story where the Bible said they got to a certain place and Paul said, we put out four anchors. We put out four anchors. We wanted to make sure that we were properly anchored in the middle of the storm. Max Lucado, the famous author, tells a story in one of his books how that in 1979 in the Miami, Florida area, there were four boys who were young men in college who were living on a houseboat on the Miami River. And he happened to be one of the four boys on that houseboat that was living, going to school on the Miami River. And they were told that Hurricane David was coming in and it was going to be a rough one. And so they said, being inexperienced and novices to hurricanes, they tied their houseboat, which was their home, up to the pier, and then they even ran cables to trees up on the land. And an old kind of leathered skin guy, I think he said his name was Theo, came by, and he was a man of the water. He was a sailor and a ship man. And he walked by and he said something to them. According to Max Lucado, he said, if you tie to the land, you'll regret it. Those trees and those piers will be eaten up by the incoming hurricane. Then he made a powerful statement. He said, your only hope is to anchor deep. And he said, when you get out there in deep water, take four anchors and throw them out in four different directions and then pray. And come back in on a boat and go inland somewhere and get safe, and we'll see what happens when the hurricane passes. But what a profound thought that you go out into deep water. Your only hope is the anchor, to go deep in God and throw out four anchors. And I want to give you those four anchors real quick. It won't take me but about 3 minutes on each anchor if you're not a long-winded audience. That means if you shout on any of these points, it's on your time, not mine. All right, you ready? They dropped four anchors. The first anchor that'll keep you afloat when you're going through the storm is the anchor a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. My purpose is stronger than the storm. Purpose doesn't change in a storm. Two things about purpose. Number one, purpose predates your conception. Jeremiah said, before I was in my mother's womb, you had a plan and ordained me to be a prophet and had a call on my life. So my purpose was greater than my conception in my mother's womb. Secondly, my purpose was planned without my input. God said, this is why you will be put on this earth. And he didn't ask your opinion. He put something in you that you don't even know that is unstoppable as long as you are doing what God has called you and purposed you to do. And you got to focus on your purpose when you get in the storm. Focus on the purpose. Just focus on what's ahead of you, not what you're going through. Losers focus on what they're going through, but champions focus on what they're going to. That's why Hebrews 12 and verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, why? Who for the joy that was set before him. He was looking at the shore. He wasn't focusing on the storm. He had a prize. He had a reward. He had something in front of him, his purpose. His scripture said, looking unto Jesus, and it said, the author and the finisher of our faith, watch this, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What enabled him to make it through his storm on that cross that Friday afternoon was what he was seeing, his purpose. He saw what would happen on the other side of the crucifixion. And that's what you have to do. God has used sinners, God has used failures, but God cannot use quitters. So you have to drop the anchor of purpose and say, God put me here. God called me. God put us together. God gave me this business. God is for me. He's not against me. There's divine purpose connected to my life, and the storm will not stop me. I'll focus on the shore and I'll make it through the storm. I'm not going to talk about what I'm going through all the time. I'm going to talk about what I'm going to. Clap your hands and shout if you believe it. I've got a purpose. You've got a purpose. The second anchor that you've got to drop is the anchor of courage. When you get in a storm, you have to courage up. That's why he told Joshua four times, be of good courage. In Joshua chapter 1, be of good courage. Get some courage when the storm comes. We don't whine in the middle of a storm. We don't go to pieces in the middle of a storm. We stand up on our hind legs and we say, I have Jesus with me and I can make it through this storm. I'm grieving, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm devastated. But in that moment, you either kowtow down and you just wither up, or you stand up with a spirit of courage and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going on. I'm going on. Courage, 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 courage. Courage is the ability to finish the race even if you're in last place. Courage is standing with up to your daughter or your son when they want to date the cool guy or the pretty girl, but you know deep in your soul it's a dangerous situation for their life. That's courage. Courage is forgiving a friend who let you down. Courage is loving a husband in the midst of a financial crisis that he caused, or a wife that the crisis she caused. Courage keeps on. Courage is refusing to let cancer steal your smile. Refusing to let cancer steal your joy, but you go in and you take chemotherapy with an incredible attitude of courage that says, you know what? I'm just believing that God's not through with me, and I drop the anchor of courage and I drop the anchor of purpose, and my purpose is greater. My destiny is greater than my dilemma. God is going to take me through to the other side. I just believe it. Come on and shout amen. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a better shout. Try it again. Courage is trying again. Courage is dreaming again. Courage is saying, I will not quit. I am going to keep going. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing it in spite of fear. I'm afraid, but here I go. Don't lose sight of the shore in the storm. There's a third anchor that I think is so important. Boy, this one really speaks to my life because it's been one of the keys of all of these. But I thought about that anchor of worship. When you get in a storm, we are not called to be a bunch of whiners that whine about how bad and dark the storm is. Worship, not whining, is what we do in storms. It's what Christians do in storms. You see, we don't worship him for what he's done or what he's allowed us to go through. We worship him for who he is. He's the captain of the sea. We sing old song in the church, put your hand in the hand of the man. Y'all don't know that. Who steals the water. I don't even know it. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. That's a good song. Courage and worship. You see, worship is God's address. When you begin to worship God, God shows up. The most powerful thing you can do when you get in a storm is not whine, but worship. Throw your hands up, open your mouth up with broken hearts, with devastated minds, and you begin to worship God. Worship is where the answers will come, where the victory will come, where the breakthrough will come. Don't let the enemy steal. Drop the anchor of worship. And we're not going to church. Why are we going this week? We've had the worst week. That's when we really need to go and drop the anchor of worship and say, nothing's going to stop me from coming in. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want a little golf clap. I want somebody to worship with a clap. I want somebody to act like I'm preaching the truth. Because here's the thing about this. Some of you, I'm not in a storm. This doesn't concern me. It's a matter of time. And then that point will mean something to you. One more anchor. When you get in the storm, you've got to be anchored. This is so important. To the church. When I was thinking about this message, I thought about my childhood all my life. And let's say this is the anchor. Let's say this pulpit is the anchor. And I throw my anchor over there and I'm connected to a rock that can't be moved, and that's Jesus. But it's very natural to drift. I don't care who you are, you're not going to be this close to the presence of God all the time. You just drift. You just start drifting. I'm going to tell you something about temptation. I'm going to tell you something just in general about life. You get busy. It's not that you necessarily do anything. You just start drifting. But if I am anchored, I can only drift so far, and I feel the tug back. I can only go so far in temptation before I feel a tug. That's how you know you're saved, by the way. If you just go on out here and do anything and everything that the world does, you're not saved. But if you're saved, you are connected and attached to an anchor, and it'll hold you back. By word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against God. And just when you start to, it'll pull you back. Just when you start to give up, it'll pull you back. Just when you feel yourself drifting into depression and fear, the word of God and coming to God's house. I thought about it. What kept me from becoming a drug addict in my youth? What kept me from sleeping with girls? What kept me from living an immoral life? What kept me from becoming an alcoholic? Just probably another 80 feet out there was alcoholism for me. But I had, my parents had put me in church and took me to church, and I had an anchor on me, and I could only go so far. And even though I could have something, I don't know why, I look back on it now, it was the power of the covenant that my family had made with God for me that held me back from so many tragic, terrible things. You ought to shout on that, because if you're in church, it's working for you. The covenant is working on your children right now. Woo! While they're down there, they're getting anchored to a rock that is immovable. It is unshakable, it's steadfast and sure.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.